Open up to Luke 9. Dave is an excellent teacher, our pastor, but his teaching method is completely different than anybody else's I've ever known. In a telephone conversation this week, Dave, we were talking. Now, see, the way I would approach it, you know, I would say to somebody, if I was the senior and speaking to a younger like Dave was doing, you know, I would probably approach it like, well, you need to worship more. That's probably something like I would say. Well, here's how Dave does that. He says, Gary, of all the things that the Lord has taught me over these years, they've all been good. He says, you know, but tongues can't give you what fasting can. Fasting can't give you what tongues does. And he says, but one thing about those two things, he said, they will eventually deliver you to worship. I got to tell you, Gary, the thing that has brought his presence stronger than anything else is that extended time that I spent in worship. Well, I'm listening, you know. And I said, well, it's not that I haven't worshiped God, Dave. I have, but I said, now, I haven't really done that extended time, you know. He said, that's the thing that brought his presence stronger than anything else. He said, a guy could get up a little bit early. I said, and this is true. And I said, Dave, I'm already getting up at 4:30. And I think I gave one or two other excuses. I don't know what it was. Okay. Dave so gently just lets me talk, you know. But then he says, well, what you need to do, he says, I know the answer. What you need to do is ask God to heal your foot. What? You know, we're talking about worship and God's presence. And he says, well, you need to ask God to heal your foot. Heal my foot? What in the world are you talking about? He says, well, if God would heal your foot, then you could put your foot down and do what you need to do. I said, I got it. Heal my foot. And I'm pretty sure the same thing applies whether you're trying to break into fasting, whether you're trying to break into tongues, whether you're trying to break into whatever. I mean, let's just all pray right now. Father, heal my foot. Heal my foot so I can put my foot down and do what I already know to do. Yes, yes. Well, I think right now it's putting it down on the flesh. Putting the foot down on the flesh. And I want to go ahead, since you brought that up, I'll mention it. See, we really can't blame the devil. The devil is a defeated foe. He really is. The devil really only has one avenue to control us, and it's not your spirit. It is the flesh. And that's why many years ago, God gave Dave that vision of what the problem was, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and do it again. In this vision, he saw the whole world, like, from outer space. And there was this dark band around the world, like a dark cloud or something. Every now and then in this vision, a hand would appear. Someone would get their hand through that dark cloud. That hand would begin to glow like gold, you know. When that person had got their hand through, when they went back to Earth, or they'd lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, see. Somebody else would get their head up through there, and their head would begin to glow. And then when they went back to minister, the teaching would be astounding, and, you know, just amazing teaching. But then every now and then, there'd be somebody that would get all the way through it, and their whole person would begin to glow. And when they went back, I mean, that's the revivalists that we hear about in history. We only have a handful every 100 years, you know, that's your Smith Wigglesworth and your John G. Lake and so forth. So Dave's looking at this vision and he goes, I know what that band is. That's the devil. That dark band, that's the devil. And then God said, no, that's your flesh. And if you ever deal with that, then the power flows much differently, see. So when we say we need God to heal our foot and put our foot down, it's really not so much to put our foot down on the neck of the devil. We really already have that in him. What we need is to put our foot down on the flesh. That thing, that whatever it is in us that keeps refusing to do what we already know to do. Well, so that would lead us into Luke 9, verse 23. Said, I thought we were through with this last year. I don't think we'll ever be through with this verse, you know. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself, or be a castaway? Stop for a minute and hopefully we'll get back to verse 26. Again, when I teach this now, it's different than how, it's not different, but my understanding of it changed by a quantum level. Once that I understood the teaching that I delivered in Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways, or what I call the hula hoop message, he is really talking to us about a different world. He says to us that we are not of, he says to the Father, talking about believers, they are not of the world, even as he is not of the world. Once you're born again, the real you is not of this planet anymore. The real you is of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, again, going back to that illustration of the Flatlanders and the Earthlander, things that were impossible for the Flatlander. When the Earthlander would offer his power, like the guy, he'd come up against the hula hoop, and no matter what he did, he could not get past it. And as long as he's limited to Flatlander physics, he never would be able to get past it. But for the Earthlander, it was a simple matter to come down, just pick him up, set him over, put him into the center of the hula hoop. We have to understand we are no longer Flatlanders. We are no longer Earthlanders, if you want to know the truth about it. We are not limited to the physics of this world. When he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let's talk about deny himself. This world, if we went to 1 John right now, which we're not going to do, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things are not even of the Father. He that loves these things, the love of the Father is not in him. It's pretty strong, isn't it? What he's really saying there now, I see it, I understand it. You have to combine it with this. He's saying to you, you are not of this world anymore. You are not an earthlander. You are. This world is all about your best life now. That's what this whole world is about. The best housing, the best car, the best food, the best education, having enough to retire and you do whatever it is you want to do. You know, that's what this whole world is about. And Jesus alluded to that a little bit, even in Matthew 6, when he says, the whole Gentile world, I mean, the whole unbelieving world that does not know God, that's what their life is about, from the birth to the grave. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What kind of car are we going to drive? Where are we going to live? How are we going to educate our kids? And it's all about that. But once you get born again, you're not of this world anymore. But most teaching in most churches, I'll just be honest with you, is designed to teach you how to maximize your world now in this life, or your life now in this world, and use God to help you do it. See? And the truth of the matter is, we're not even of this world. Now, does that mean God wants you to abandon your family and not provide for your family? Absolutely not. He that does that is worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. See? What he's saying here, though, we have to literally come to that conclusion on the inside of ourselves. I'm not an earthlander anymore. My life is not about that. In Matthew 6, he said it this way, seek first. Now there he says the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How about I put it this way? Seek first the plan of God for your life. And don't be so concerned like these worldly people about spending your life on your best life now, but rather seek first his kingdom. Find out what his plan is for your life. Put that first, and the ironclad guarantee is all these things will be added to you. Glory to God. Well, that's easy to preach and hard to live. Sue and I have tasted of it some. I don't know if there's more to taste or not, but when we tried to live on that. Now, this is why the blueprint that Tim talks about is always so, Tim and others talk about, is so important. The blueprint, that is your life. See, when God comes and he says to Abraham, all right, this is my plan for your life. You're going to have this child, and through that child, you're going to have seed that's going to number like the stars of heaven. Through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through that seed. Can Abraham change that? He can ignore it, can't he? But is God's mind going to change? Is there a plan B? No. No, that's it. That whatever he says, that becomes your life. And it doesn't really do, it's okay to share your words, but I can't live Mike Quitmire's words. He has a blueprint from God. I can't really live Tim's words. Tim has a blueprint from God. I can't live Dave's words. You got to find out what he says to you. That's his plan for you. And then, well, that very often when you see his plan, your mind will come to a startling conclusion. Your natural worldly mind. That's still of this world, by the way, until you get it renewed. Your natural mind will look down God's plan. God gives you a glimpse somewhere down his plan. You look at it, you go, I am not sure that is my best life now. Because he starts telling you things that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. He'll say things like to us, and this was, I had no income, you know, I couldn't drive trucks anymore, had no income, we had no savings. And he says, I want you to go full-time ministry. Okay, great. Your natural mind, now my natural mind, I won't talk about yours, my natural mind. Well, it started thinking of all these ways that ministers generate income. Well, first thing you got to do is have your own church, not attend somebody else's church, because they get the tithe. I didn't know a lot in those days, okay? I mean, I'm just going to stay focused here on this. But, you know, offerings, that's one way. All the ministries I knew of, they sell, at that time, cassette tapes, and they sell these series, and you do all of these things. And then you can, you know, there's such a thing as a appeal letter. We're going to have a building campaign. I mean, I grew up in a denomination. I don't care what church we were in what part of the country. I went to 13 different schools between the first and the sixth grade, and all of them had a building program, every single one of them. They've always got a project, right? Always something to give to, okay? But he starts talking to us, his plan for us, and he says, well, I don't, and the only thing we had going really at first was that Bible study. And one of the first things he tells me, well, don't take up any offerings here. And I'm going, what? What? Because we were, you know, we applied for our 501c3 and we were, you know, we were legal and everything. We could have. Except for one thing. He said, don't. Well, then, you know, after he said, he told me to start recording all of the services. And I had an old Panasonic. Two, you know, all of those dual cassette recorders. Is this, God, it was bigger than this thing. Big old thing. High speed dubbing. Y'all remember that? High speed dubbing. That means it'll make one side of one tape twice as fast as normal. So a 90 minute tape takes 45 minutes to record. And you got to remember to be there to flip it over, you know. Cause, that's what we had. That's what we did, you know. So then I remember the first time somebody asked if we'd send some copies of those tapes to a sister up in Michigan, I think it was. And I, my lightning quick mind, aha, this is God's plan for how we're going to finance, how we're going to eat if you're going to. This is how, oh, we'll sell cassette tapes. And I, right, you know, still staying in prayer. No, he says, I don't want you to ever sell anything, any teaching I ever give you. And I want you to send them free. Oh, and I want you to send them postage paid. Oh, and I want you to send it without a return envelope. And again, I went, what? Your lightning quick mind, which is, has to be renewed. It did not get born again. It has to be renewed to think like God. Now, that's ancient history. All of y'all know that. You could tell those stories as well as me. So we're going to graduate now to where we're going now. I'm hearing little reports. Now you're in the grocery store. You're in the grocery store and you hear somebody saying, oh, my stomach. Oh, my stomach, I'm hurting, you know. But see, your mind has been renewed to the point. You happened to be at the Sunday morning message at the prayer center. And you heard a prophecy first, and then you heard teaching that says, He has already authorized me. He has authorized me to cure diseases. So rather than push your cart by like you normally would, instead of pushing your cart by like you normally would, you say, what's wrong? Are you okay? Oh, I've got a tumor. I've got a tumor in me. It's really, really painful. And I don't know how you'll phrase it. Maybe you'll say, I'm a servant of the Lord. You might say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You might say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you'll phrase it. Or you might just say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I think most people will let you. Sometimes they might resist, though. In the case I know of, a lady resisted a little bit, and then the husband says, you got nothing to lose, let her pray. Prayed right there in the grocery store in the name of Jesus. Something began to happen, and the lady had to run off to the bathroom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, what we're going to have is testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. It's not just going to be on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. It's going to be at the Reese's, at the Walmart. It's going to be at the schoolyard. It's going to be where you work. It's going to be everywhere you go, because where you go, God goes. But in that process, every day, he says, apparently Jesus did this every day. This is how he walked sin-free. This is how he kept himself in the will of God. I know Jesus was God in the flesh. Don't write me any letters. I already know that. But the Bible plainly says he laid down his divinity. He did not do anything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as God. If he did, then he's no pattern for us. But he did lay it down. And everything he did, that's why he would call himself Son of Man, Son of God. You're Son of Man, Son of God. You really are. He functioned exactly as he intends for us to function. A person with a life of God on the inside, wearing mortal flesh, tempted like we are. Now, there's no such thing as tempted without tempted. That's not a temptation if you're not tempted. I don't know how else to phrase that. His flesh was no different than our flesh. His flesh would have liked his flesh. Oh, what? I get in trouble now. His flesh would like a high, like people's flesh today would like a high. But see, he denied himself, put his flesh on the cross every day. Every day. And that he wasn't interested in his best life now. And I'm not coming against anybody in particular. It just happens to be a book title. You know, and God's not against you having a good life. God is not about you having to sleep out under a tree with your kids. You know, he's really not. If God has his way, America will turn back to God, be a prosperous nation that prospers for the purpose of sending this gospel around the world. That's why he raised up this nation in the first place. And he's not against a prosperous nation, but he is against a mammon-worshipping nation and a sin-worshipping nation. If any man will come after me, let's change it a little bit. Gary, yes, sir. You want to follow after me? Yes, sir. Well, Gary, you got to understand this one thing. You're not of the world. The things that motivate the world can't motivate you. You can't be motivated by fame. You can't be motivated by riches. You can't be motivated by fleshly pleasure. You're not of this world. You're from a world that you've never seen. But that world is a fabulous world. You're going to spend all eternity there. But right now, your Father needs you here. And I need you here, Gary. Gary, I need your body. I need your will. Will you surrender to me and let me live my life through you? Instead of you seeking your best life now, Gary, will you do that? Well, I want to, Lord. But you may have to heal my foot. Didn't he say the Spirit is willing? See, the part of you that's born again is willing. It's that dark band. It is the flesh. It really is. And that's more than just our physical appetites. That's every unrenewed portion of the soul. It's the part of us that... See, there's part of me that hurts when the Packers lose. Isn't that sad? I know. Part of me hurts, and that's a shame that it does. That measure right there, I'm serious, that measure right there is a measure of, I'm not dead there yet. See? That shouldn't bother me. I'm not of this world. You know? But it did, and when it did, then I'm going, okay, that's a sign to me. That's a measuring stick to Gary. Okay? So when he says, let him deny himself, to me that is a wonderful thing, because what he's really saying, he's prophesying past the cross here, and he's saying, you're going to become like me. See, at this moment, nobody else was born again. He was the only one, but he's prophesying. And he's saying, you're going to become like me. You're going to become not of the world like I'm not of the world. Then you can't be sucked back into fame, fortune, bigger, you know, my life is about, how do we used to say it? Longer cars and VCRs. Then it graduated to hot rods and iPods. You know, SUVs and DVDs. Your life can't be about that anymore, Gary. Not if you're going to be my disciple. Because you're going to be born from that world like I'm born from that world. And if you want to follow me, you have to lay that life down. He says, you know, and we could go to John. My mind is not involved right now, where he says, I don't do anything of my own. I only seek the will of my Father. That's what we do too. Then the more we do that, deny ourselves, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The more we do that, then the more we're transformed to be like him. But then this other part, and take up his cross daily. Now see, that's the thing. The flesh, we don't get a new one of those. Not until the regeneration of the... That's the part we're still waiting on. Paul talked about in Romans 8. You know, we're still waiting for that day. When we'll put on that new body. We'll finally have... Gosh, I am looking... Is gosh okay? I am looking forward to that body. Because this body, it likes sin. I'm just telling you right now. It does. I mean, that rascal, it would, if I let it, it would drive to Krispy Kreme. They're still open. It would eat till it couldn't eat anymore, and then go to the hospital, have the stomach pump, then go back again. I'm telling you, I know this flesh. It's not saved. It's not going to be saved. That's why God, it's like he looked at our spirit and says, okay, I can birth them again. He looked at our mind and says, okay, I can give them my word and they can renew their mind. But he looked at our bodies, and it's like he went, even I can't do anything with that, I just declare it dead. I'll have to give you a new one of these days. So if he declares it dead, then there's only one place to put it. And that's why he says every day you got to put it on the cross. Then one night he said it this way through me. Here, I'd never heard this before. And it was at a calling in the lost, just a service like this one. And he said, well, every day, Gary, and the way he said it, wait, I heard it. I don't know how you heard it. Every day, one of you is going to be on the cross. The flesh is going to win. Put your spirit man there. And you're going to do what the flesh wants. Or your spirit's going to put the flesh on the cross. And you're going to do what God wants. No wonder he said daily. You've got to crucify it, see. Because this body is of this world. Now, I will tell you this. Here's good news. And I can talk. I was addicted to nicotine for 42 years. 42 years. And I was not a light smoker. 2 to 3 packs a day. It's been so long now. I mean, I could not fathom what it's like to live as an adult, because I started when I was 14. I had no image in me. How do you live without it? You know, I had no image. But now it's been so many years. See, even my body doesn't crave it anymore. Oh, thank God. I thought that day would never come. But it did come, and it's been here a long time. And now I can go through stressful times, really stressful things. And after that's over, 2 or 3 days later, I'll be going, it'll dawn on me. I never once even thought about having a smoke. That's when I go into worship, Dave. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I never thought it was possible. So our bodies can be trained. And that's a big help. But you know, I could train it right back again. I could train it right back. You know? Okay. Let him deny himself. Okay, come on. Okay, he wants to go further tonight. Well, verse 24 is talking about the same thing. Whosoever will save his life will lose it. That's why he talks about, what's it going to profit? Are you going to still live, even though you're a born-again person? You're a heavenlander now. Can I use that phrase? You're a heavenlander now, but are you going to give your whole life as an earthlander and try and gain the whole world and your best life now and have the mansions and the Rolls Royces and whatever is that? Because you do know at the end of this life, you're not taking any of that with you. You are going to lose it all. And that's what you spent your life on, that? What's that old deal that says, he that dies with the most toys wins? But I heard someone wiser say, no, he that dies with the most toys still dies. And it doesn't matter how many toys you have. Only thing you're going to carry with you is what you did for him. And really, I would phrase that a little different now. What you're going to carry with you is what he did through you. What he did through you. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, but it really wasn't me. It was the grace of God in me. You think Paul got a reward, though? One time the Lord told me, I have this little teaching of God. He says, Gary, he says, you are rewarded for my works. Every time I allow him to work through me, I get the reward. I'm not doing it for the reward, but I don't mind getting the reward. Okay, he wants to go into these next verses here now. Okay, so let's go on. Let me read verses 24, 25, but we're headed for 26 and 27, or at least 26. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So if you spend your whole life trying to save your earthlander life, you're going to lose it anyway. But whosoever will lose his earthlander life, now this is why you do it, not for reward. For his sake. Why do we do what we do? Are we really motivated by reward? I don't believe that for a minute. I like the fact that we're going to have rewards. That's fine. That's knowledge good to have, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. But I already know you're not here tonight because you're hoping to get another reward in heaven. You're here tonight because you love him. You're here tonight because you want to serve him more. You're here tonight because you want him to be able to use you more than he has in the past. For his sake, see. And if you do it, if you live that way, he says, you're going to save that life. See, that's the life you'll carry with you into the next room. Everything that you did for his sake, that's what you carry with you. Verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be a castaway? I think it's a dangerous thing to try and live as a Christian with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world. Some preacher said that's a slippery creek bank. You keep messing around there, you might go sliding all the way down. You know, it's a slippery slope. Well, Selling out to him isn't always easy on the flesh. In fact, I've never found it easy on the flesh. But I think the rewards. See, every journey begins with a single step. Okay, so maybe the first level is pray for the lady in the grocery store. Maybe you did, last time you saw her was when she went off into the bathroom and you don't know what happens. See, as we continue to obey him, I believe we're going to see cancers fall off on the floor. You have to call for the cleaning crew on aisle 6. What's on aisle 6? Well, believers are there and they prayed. And now there's a mess to clean up on the floor. I'm serious. I believe those days are upon us. Start going through the children's hospital. Wow, you talk about life. Boy, the day, if it's your hand, laid on that blind kid's eyes. Or the little ball. But when they show those little bald children that have cancer, talk about the devil. Talk about, I don't think Jesus would put up with that. I don't think he would have. What about doing good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And here you've got these children oppressed with cancer. And we're concerned about living our best life now. God help us all. Heal my foot, Lord. I can put my foot down. Can't live like this. Can't live like this. Caught in between two worlds. We need to walk in this one and live in that one. Did you hear that? I've been seeing this picture in me. I nearly went and got Dave's book today because now we have some, thank God. Nearly went and got him and just got it. Now just y'all know what it looks like if I held it up. I said, now what does it say? Does it say the walk of the flesh? Does it say the walk of the flesh? No, it's the walk of the Spirit. This whole church, this whole message is about the walk of your reborn spirit and the walk of power. Well, thank God that message came to maturity. And the devil has thrown everything that he can, attacked everybody who stayed, attacked everybody who prayed. And some of it really severe. But there's a prophecy out in the foyer. Endurance is the key. Now we have stayed and prayed. And we're going to walk in that power. And it's going to be the walk of the real you. That walk of the spirit man. The walk of the spiritual being that you truly are. That is not of this world. And it is the walk of power. This year, the year of power. We have got to know who we are now. This whole message is about that walk of the Spirit, the walk of the real you. If you haven't read that book in a while, you ought to read it again. If you gave away your copy, like I always did, I'd put my name in it so I wouldn't give it away. Then I'd wind up giving it away. So I finally got it in Kindle version. Do y'all know it's available in Kindle? Yeah, it's available for free in Kindle. If you didn't know that, get it on your phone, get it on your iPad, get it on your computer, because now I have it with me everywhere I go, see. If Sue wants to go shop an extra hour at Ross, and she lets me stay out in the parking lot while she does that, I can sit there and read Dave's book again. You can also learn how to get the prophecies on your iPhone while we're at it. They have them all at the prayer center. Did you know that? Did you know you can have it in PDF format and audio format? You can read or listen anytime you want. That's food. You talk about food. That is food for the man that's not of this world. Cause you to grow. Okay. He wants to get into this verse. So verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? It's a sobering thought. Paul said, I keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's serious, putting that flesh on the cross every day. Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. How many of you were here when I taught what I taught about Peter? And how he was not so, Lord? This shall not happen unto you. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Peter, I'm going to be rejected and crucified. No. Not so, Lord. This shall not happen unto you. That's not what Peter had in mind for his best life now. Now, it's not quite that bad with Peter. What Peter thought was that when the Messiah came, he would overthrow the occupation of Rome. And that the Messiah would set up his earthly kingdom at that time. Now, we know that's going to happen later, but Peter didn't know that. He thought it was then. So he could not understand at all what Jesus was talking about when he says, no, I'm going to be rejected and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, this was totally against what he understood the truth to be. What Jesus is talking about here is to us, but it's especially to Peter. Do you know what the very next thing that happens here is? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. Dave used to say, I still love it, on his early tapes, he would say, well, if you haven't read it before now, don't be reading it while I'm talking with you. Because he'd say something like that and they'd all be looking down, you know. And he'd go, no, if you haven't read it before I got here. I am a good student. I read. What's the very next thing? This is the Mount of Transfiguration. Don't tell me he's not talking to Peter right there. Peter, you're ashamed of me and what I say? Boy, you better repent. You don't know yet what kingdom you're of. I won't take you up on the mountain. There's going to be two witnesses. And you're going to see me in my glory. You're going to see into this kingdom of God. You're going to see Moses and Elijah. Isn't it amazing what's in here? Isn't it amazing when you keep it in the context? What's in here? Yes, sir. Now for us, though, verse 26, what he's talking about to us. This would be a message for another day, introducing it. It's real easy to see why the church at large has watered down the gospel to be a salvation-only message in the sense of get born again, be nice, give your tithe, and go to heaven. The church, for the most part, you don't find very many ministers that will stand up in the midst of the sick and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sick man, you don't have to be sick. Get in the line and I'll show you. In his name. We have been ashamed. We, meaning the church at large. That's not the gospel that is preached around this world. You know it and I know it. For the most part. If they still even have the born-again experience, which many of them don't even have that anymore. Most of what's taught in his name these days is a social gospel. Be nice, quit sinning, give your tithe. I think that's in all of them. And, you know, that kind of thing, see. But the real new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils, are you kidding me? The world is too intellectual for that now. They're ashamed of his gospel. They won't even say sin is sin anymore. They think they know better than God. Well, they're about to find out they don't know better than God. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. Boy, he gave Peter space to repent, didn't he? And Peter did repent. And so can we. God has us as the tip of the spear, whether you know it or not. He has us as, when I say us, I mean everybody that's attached with this message. He has us like the tip of the spear into the supernatural realm to bring revival to this world. He is, yes, we want Tulsa to be in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, but Tulsa is the beginning, not the end. He has a massive job. The church has a massive job in front of her. 8 billion souls on the planet. And the tiniest fraction is really saved. And he's saying, I need to send laborers into the harvest. We are the tip of the spear. We're the going in where people are afraid, ashamed, too intellectual, care too much about their money, care too much about their image, care too much about what others think. But he's been working on you all these years to get rid of all those things. A people that love him, will believe him, will obey him, and harvest a lost world. Are you ready for that? Then tell him so. Hallelujah, Father. We are ready, Lord. Heal our foot. Heal our foot that we can put our foot down. Deal with this flesh. Put our flesh on the cross every day, Lord. We're willing to be the tip of the spear, thrown by the Spirit into the darkness, Lord, to bring revival, to bring the light of the gospel to a dark world. Father, we're not ashamed. We are not ashamed of Jesus. We are not ashamed of His words. Let us stand up boldly and declare them and see their fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, you can say,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to see this tonight. When Jesus, you know that verse we read, there's some standing here that you're going to see the glory of God. They won't die. Well, he took them up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Somehow their eyes were open to see Jesus, who he really was. They was able to see his spirit man. And it said he shone and was brighter than Fuller's wall. I don't know how to say it like the Bible does. Do you understand that right now, if God opened the eyes of people on earth, you would glow just like that? Do you understand that yet? Did you notice there it did not say that Moses and Elijah shone like that? Did you ever notice that? Only Jesus. Why? They did not yet have the life of God on the inside. They were not yet creatures from heaven. They were in a holding place. They were in Abraham's bosom in paradise. But they were not born again until after he was raised from the dead himself. But you are born again. We are not of this world. If somehow we could all see into the kingdom, he says, there's some standing here that you're going to see the kingdom. If he would open our eyes, and I'm looking at Mary back there, Mary would shine just like he shone. Helena, every believer, you are already that. We're not trying to become that. We are that. He's trying to get us to believe that we are that. So we can get about our Father's work. And the devil says, no, you're a slime. You're a slimy dog worm. You're nothing. He's always getting you looking at your flesh, which is not of God. Alan's right when he says, God is not the father of your flesh. He's the creator of it. No, he is the father of your spirit. You would shine just like that. We are already that. Boy, if we ever get that revelation. We are already that. No wonder he talks to us like we don't expect. We expect him to talk to us about our fleshy things, and he talks to us as the spirit children that we really are. I'm preaching good. I can tell when I'm preaching good. That's good right there. That's good stuff right there. You're already eternal creatures. Already with that shining. If the world could see. We're all, if we could see. You're not what you see in the mirror. And at my age, I'm really happy about that. I'm telling you right now. Glory to God. I'm pretty sure I'm only 33 years old on the inside. I remember 33. 33 was good. Hallelujah. I'm telling you now. I like that. That's good. We'll go for some of that. Isn't that amazing? If we get that revelation, devil's in trouble. You're the tip of the spear. Don't forget it. You really are. You're the tip of the spear. That might be the message, the title of the message. You are the tip of the spear. I see it so clear. He's about to throw us into revival. You know that a spear has no ego. Spear doesn't work for money. Spear doesn't care what you say about it. It does what it was designed to do. Hallelujah. That's us. Okay. I see in this image of our golden man, who we really are, that golden man. Y'all remember that series? If you're born again, you have a golden man on the inside of you. It's made in the image of Christ. And so, like what I was seeing right there, our golden man is stepping outside and watching us. Our daily act. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. He's watching as we get caught up in the daily things of this world, and cares of this world, and busy. And he's gone. You're losing your life for that. You're giving up what the life that I function by. You're going to substitute that? Hard, isn't it? I'll tell on myself. Is that okay? I like it when he lets me know ahead of time where my mind understands. You know, he tells me he wants me to do something like anything. It'd be anything, you know. Give so-and-so some money. Give so-and-so a call. Encourage them. Call Daisy and tell her she's great. I like that, you know. But see, there's sometimes, and I don't know why, maybe my mind is not attentive. Sometimes you just get up and... Yeah, but I do know this. I do know this. When I pray in the Spirit, he is making intercession for me according to the perfect plan of God. And I just had a case here Friday. I had such a busy day scheduled Friday. The big I, Gary. And it was all good things. Not a bad things. I wasn't going to... Well, there's just nothing bad on that. It was all good things. I mean, you know, they were wholesome, clean, good. Some of them even in Kingdom of God type things, you know. But I made a mistake. I'm kidding. But I got up early and prayed. Prayed a few hours that morning, you know. And just prayed. I didn't hear anything like, okay, we're going to change your plan. I didn't hear that. But then as the day progressed, you have to learn how to follow him. And the circumstances, he wanted me doing something completely different than what I thought I was going to be doing. It took hours. My soul usually panics about there. It's because it's going, oh God, how am I going to get all this done that I'm supposed to? But see, my soul has to bow the knee. You see? That soul creature has to... I'm a soul man. Anyway, that soul man, I'm sorry. Dave told me not to sing. I'm sorry. That soul man has to bow the knee when it's obvious that the Lord has a different plan. And he blessed somebody and they needed help. And he had me right in the right spot at the right time to do it. It wasn't anything supernatural except all of it. to be there and be dead enough to do it. And my plan had to go by the wayside when it's conflict with his plan. And I've asked him since. I says, how come you just didn't tell me that? I think I'd have been willing if you'd just told me that morning. And I haven't heard the answer yet. If I do, I'll tell you. But I don't know. I don't know why he didn't tell my soul. I think part of it, I think he's tired of my soul having to know everything. Like I'll be the judge of that. I'll decide what we're going to do. Thank you very much. Maybe that's why. Tell on Gary. It's good for you though, isn't it? Get up and pray. I recommend it. Might throw in some worship if you put your foot down. If your foot gets healed. Hallelujah.